As part of our ongoing series and Montana Public Media's Climate Week, tonight we focus on how climate change is impacting Glacier National Park. Melting glaciers are one of the most tangible effects of climate change. Glacier National Park has been jokingly called Glacierless National Park and Dirty Snow Cone National Park since the park's namesakes will melt away in just a few decades. Reporter Allison Mills recently hiked up to Grinnell Glacier with researcher Dan Fagry and his crew to see what's happening to the retreating ice.
Dan Fagry walks along a smooth patch of bedrock dipping down to an iceberg-filled lake. He is a research scientist with the United States Geological Survey's Northern Rocky Mountain Science Center and studies alpine ecosystems. Walking under the shadow of Mount Gould, where Grinnell Glacier hunkers down, Fagry stops at a small boulder. A pile of pebbles and dirt sit atop it, and Fagry taps the rock with a trekking pole.
You can tell that this was only recently uncovered by the retreating ice, because you can see the matrix of all the basically rock flour built in all around this rubble, so the rain hasn't had enough time to wash it away.
Fagry moves forward, climbing over a 4-foot-tall ledge of sharp-edged rocks like they were stairs, making his way to Grinnell Glacier's melted margin. Ice carved this landscape, digging cirques and trimming ridges into knife-like arêtes. But the glaciers are disappearing.
And the fact that they're disappearing suggests that even the nastiest weather pockets in Glacier National Park are becoming more benign. They're warming up.
Fagry and his team thoroughly document this retreat because glaciers track changes in climate. When Glacier National Park was formed, there were about 150 glaciers. Now, there are only 25. But counting glaciers doesn't actually reflect how much mass has been lost. At Sperry Glacier, where Fagry and his team conduct mass balance measurements, they have documented a 34% loss of ice over 40 years.
We are using the glaciers as basically icons of change in a mountain ecosystem. They're very visible, they're tangible. People understand that when you have a warming climate, they get smaller.
The impacts are felt globally and locally. Worldwide, melting ice contributes to sea level rise, about 0.23 meters per year. Antarctica and Greenland contribute about 60% of annual sea level rise, and smaller alpine glaciers, like those in Montana, contribute 40%. Based on moderate projections from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, or IPCC, cities like New Orleans and Venice could be endangered by rising seas by the end of the century. More locally, in areas close to glaciers, pretty much all the water comes from glacial melt. Farther away, that contribution goes down. However, glaciers supply water during the dry late summer months. Not only does that affect irrigation and human needs, but glaciers are a key part of alpine ecosystems. These areas will be irrevocably changed when the ice is gone.
And while we can do some modeling and make some measurements and make some conjectures, when the glaciers go, we need to document those effects as well. So this will go on for a number of decades into the future.
Fagry says the park's glaciers will be gone in most people's lifetimes. They've been melting for more than a century, but changes are happening much faster than researchers thought they would.
Normally, you think about glaciers on geological timescales, and what we've experienced is in a very, very human timescale.
The park's glaciers have been melting even without the rapidly rising concentration of carbon dioxide and other heat-trapping greenhouse gases in the Earth's atmosphere. Fagry says the glaciers formed about 7,000 years ago, but much of the ice accumulated during the Little Ice Age. That ended in about 1850, and the glaciers have been retreating ever since. But the rate of change is what alarms scientists. They expect the glaciers to disappear in the next few decades.
That's anomalous. That's weird. And so you have to look for another cause for their disappearing other than just the normal kinds of long-term climate trends. It's accelerated, and we need to have an explanation for that.
Under normal climate conditions, glacial change is tracked over decades or years. But in this case, it's 1 week. Fagry and his crew look out across the milky blue lake. The ice face here dives down about 300 feet. Only 10 feet or so sticks up above the clefted edge along the water, where several car-sized boulders rest atop icebergs.
All of that was open water, and now it's all filled with ice. So we had a major event in the last week, and so Grinnell is smaller.
This big calving event that broke off the entire end of the glacier is a single instance of remarkable change. That alone doesn't mean climate change is happening.
You have to look at consistent trends over a fairly long period of time to say whether there's a really fundamental shift going on.
Changes like this are happening more often, The icebergs make the lake too dangerous for Fagery's crew to go out in their inflatable boats to mark the glacier's edge. Fagery just shrugs.
It's another day in the life of monitoring glaciers.
The land survey can move forward. Researchers Eric Peitsch and Adam Clark assemble the GPS antenna and start to follow the margin's path upwards. Peitsch tries to step carefully on the wet rock exposed in a melted crevasse.
Right now we're using a GPS to map the component. The component of the glacier, the terminus, the glacier terminus, that's on the land. We couldn't map it in the water.
Clark sidesteps the patch of ice Peitsch slipped on.
Yeah, it takes a position every second. Basically drawing a line around the glacier here, around this section of it anyway, where we can actually travel.
He means up a steep talus slope broken only by 7-foot ledges of jagged bedrock. So from here over is all the top of the glacier?
Yeah.
The air is cold and still at the top edge of the glacier. Far below, the ice's watery edge cuts a straight line. Crevasses crinkle the glacier center, and an old water tunnel opens half-melted, like an abandoned house with eerily dark windows. Glacial ice can be an ethereal blue, but Grinnell is mottled with dingy streaks of rock and debris. Researcher and crew leader Fagery points out the sheer rock face where Salamander Glacier sits 250 feet above the lake. Grinnell and Salamander used to be one, a giant bulge of ice nearly 1,000 feet thick.
And in 1887, when George Bird Grinnell first came up here to investigate this, the glacier came all the way down the top of those two waterfalls.
The water now cascades down a steep cliff hundreds of feet beyond the ice. From the trail, only the top crest of Grinnell can be seen. In the afternoon light, the landscape has a fairy tale, misty quality. But the science is real. So is the political debate, though some scientists don't necessarily want to bridge the two. Joel Harper is an associate professor of geology at the University of Montana. He researches meltwater dynamics in the Greenland ice cap and has done studies in Glacier National Park.
We present the science, and that's without political judgment, and that's for somebody else to decide. That's for policymakers to decide.
Harper says studying glacial retreat and meltwater is only part of the big picture of climate change.
I don't look at it as a single thing. It's putting together a suite of scientific evidence from a broad spectrum.
Still, melting glaciers remain one of the most compelling displays of climate change. Leaving Grinnell Glacier's icy margin, Fagery picks up a lost piece of equipment, then walks across tumbled rocks.
Glaciers are not partisan. They don't belong to any political party. They don't have any belief systems. They just sit there and reflect whatever's happening to them.
He passes boulders crowned with rock flower and pebbles while meltwater trickles down smooth bedrock. Fagery steps across stones spanning the small waterfall. Behind him, Grinnell Glacier hides from the sun in Mount Gould's shadow. For Montana Public Radio, I'm Allison Mills.
Tomorrow, Flathead reporter Katrin Fry looks into the impact of climate change on two of Montana's premier fish species, bull trout and West Slope cutthroat.